bask in it. We enjoy one another. It was so refreshing. And we've done a few of those through the years, and you have those times you just want to park somewhere and just stay right there. That is how I feel at Hebrews 11, verse 35, A. How many know you can divide a verse with A and B when you write it out, right? Because then we have to read a little further. But before we do, isn't faith incredible? Look at what faith has done. Matter of fact, take your outline there, if you will, and just very quick, like our very last time to ever do this, but I want you to consider what we have seen that faith does in our lives and through our lives. By faith, we can firmly believe in who and what we cannot see. We can please God. We can believe in God as our creator. We can give God our very best in worship. We can have intimate friendship with God. We can live godly lives amidst a sinful world. We can follow God into the unknown. We can learn to be patient with God. We can trust God through difficult times. We can journey this life with heaven in our hearts. We can believe for and invest in the next generation by faith. We can fulfill whatever the role God has for us. We can deny ourselves, choosing the difficult path. We can look for the sacrificial blood of Jesus to be applied to our lives. We can trust God when he takes us to the very brink and we think we're going to die, but he takes us through. We can take bold steps of faith and obedience to God. We can open up our homes in hospitality to fulfill God's work. We can overcome our personal insecurities. We can prevent sin from destroying our life's potential. We can believe our start in life does not dictate our finish in life. We can continually tune our heart to God. We can learn to listen to God. We can see our world through prophetic eyes. We cannot see the Cubs win the World Series by faith. Could you hear an amen? Faith's awesome, isn't it? I read that, I get excited. How many love faith? Ah, you're so quiet. Let's bow our heads. I'll just close in prayer. I've got a whole sermon to give you, but you just seem not too excited about it. How many of you thank God for faith? These things apply to our life. And you come into verse number 32, and I mean, we're on a roll here, establishing kingdoms and winning great victories. It is awesome what's happening. And how many of you know, though, you better read the whole context. Don't leave it there. I sense some on TV might stop right there. But at Central Assembly, we're going to read the whole Bible. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. I recommend do not read this to your child before bedtime. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts. I did that for 27 years. It's a hard life. That was a different desert than these. Mountains, caves, holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us they would be made perfect. Faith, like hope and love, and there's so many wonderful attributes of God, as well as things that he imparts to us and gives us, are wonderful things, but they're balanced in Scripture. Hope is wonderful. You can't live without hope. I love hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. If you lose hope, you die. And yet within hope, there's a reality. There's the present. There's a tension that when you and I have hope, typically, it might be like you're looking for a job right now, and there's something in there that you're hoping, and you're just believing God for. And so there's hope that keeps you going. There's hope that keeps you applying. There's hope that keeps you getting that resume together. But on the other end is the reality. Right now, you don't have a job, and that's a bummer. And yet hope is here, and yet the reality is here. And many times, that tension can be really hard. Same thing's true of love, and I love love. How many of you love love? Love's worth loving. It's lovely. It's great. Love's the ultimate expression of God. John said in 1 John, God is love. And so love, too, and we're commanded to love one another, and love is patient, it's kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil. It rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love is incredible. The Beatles told us all we need is love. William Holden and Jennifer Jones let us know that love is a many-splendored thing. Bob Merrill told us, love makes the world go round. Elvis asked us to please love me tender, love me true. Lionel Richie and Diana Ross dreamed of endless love. And then Neil Diamond had to come along. Huh? Love on the rocks ain't no surprise. Just pour me a drink and I'll tell you some lies. How many of you know Neil needed Jesus? Come on, huh? Kind of like Taylor Swift. I remember when we broke up the first time saying, this is it, I've had enough. Because like we haven't seen each other in a month. When you said you needed space, what? Then you come around again and say, baby, I miss you and I swear I'm going to change. And trust me, remember, my wife wrote this song. But anyway, I say, I hate you. We break up. You call me. I love you. Do you feel the torment of love? Oh, we call it off again last night, but oh, this time I'm telling you, we will never, ever, 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 this song, ever, 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 we'll never get back together. Amen. It's a good song. Well, some of you don't like that one, but how about this one? You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille. Huh? Four hungry kids, a crop in the field. I've had some bad times, I've lived through sad times, but this time the hurting won't heal. You picked up, huh? Okay, well, come on. Follow me, though. Here's the point. That's love. Can you imagine the heart of God toward the Middle East right now? He gave his son Jesus, not when we got all cleaned up and become really good people, and then he dies for us. No. Romans 5. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's very easy for something to slide into our souls, isn't it? That makes us despise certain people. But Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, right? We're to love with God's love, right? Can you imagine how it feels for God? See, love is a risk. Love's a risk for all of us. That's why there's those goofy songs. That's why so much of love songs are songs about pain and hurt and loss. You know why? Because it's a risk to love. And you can take your little heart and you can put it into that little achy, breaky heart. You can take it and you can put it into a box. Say, I'm never going to love again. I'm never going to love. You know why? Because when you love, you're going to go through hurt. It's just the balance of it. God lives it more than any of us. He understands it more than any of us. Love's a two-sided thing, so is faith. Faith has both sides. On the one hand, it conquers. On the one hand, it wins. On the one hand, it defeats the enemy. On the other hand, it faces the fire. On the other hand, it goes through the trial. That's why I love our opening song so much today, because I've been in the desert and I've been through the fire and I've gone through trials, but I've also been in the harvest when favor and providence flows. And in all of it, I love that song. I will bring praise no matter what season I'm in. There is a reason to give God praise. I love that song because it's a song of faith. And Hebrews 11, when you decide to read it all, yes, faith conquers kingdoms, administers justice. It does incredible things. Listen to that. It escapes the edge of the sword. And at the very same time, with faith, others are tortured, flogged, chained, sawed in two, and stoned to death. Faith. That's what's so bizarre about Acts chapter 12. You ever noted that? Verse 2, James, one of the early apostles, thrust through with a sword. He dies and goes to heaven, the second martyr after Stephen recorded in Scripture. 5 verses later, an angel is sent from God to deliver Peter out of prison. Now, does God love Peter more than James? Did Peter have more faith than James? See, it's the tension of faith. And it's a balance. One thing, if anything you could leave with today, it's this. Both victory and even perceived or seeming defeat are both a part of faith. I put it like this in our first point today. Biblical faith is realized in both the victories and the sufferings of life. That's what we deduce from Hebrews chapter 11. That faith is realized in both the gains and the losses, the joys and the sorrows, the comforts and the trials, the happy times and the sad times. Faith is still faith. And there might be those that would come to you and say, oh, but Jeff, you're reading the Old Testament here. This is something that we're reviewing what happened in the Old Testament. That's not New Testament theology. Oh, do I have a tale for you today? R.A. Torrey called it a soft pillow for a tired heart. And it's one of my favorite chapters. Don't throw your Bible over that. Just hang with me, Ron. I know you're Man, you're excited this morning. I appreciate that. But how many of you believe today that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose? One translation of that, that God works all things together. Oh, I love that. And that's what it's saying. Because it's not us working it together. It's not us ordaining and orchestrating our lives, but all things work together for the good of them that love God. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you doubted that? Come on. Sure. You ever been there when life wasn't going the way you want it to go, and so you're saying, well, maybe not this thing, but the Bible says all things. So what happens many times is by faith we have to live through the fire, we have to live through the circumstances, we have to live through whatever it is, so that then we come out on the other side, we hang on to God, our faith has grown, and then we recognize, you know what, He even has used that to the good of me, that love Him and are called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the nature of His Son. See, when He's working in us, the goal that God has is for every one of us here to become more like Jesus. That is the destiny of us. And those that He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall I say in response to this? And He has a series of questions here, some of them rhetorical. If God is for us, who can be against us? We sang that this morning. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also graciously give us all things through Him? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Because it is God who justifies. So don't worry about anybody bringing a charge against you. If God justifies you, that's all that matters. He is the one who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of the Father, and He's interceding for us. Can you imagine how good we have it? Look at all of this. And then he asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And I just want to pause and just bask in it. It's like the breeze, right? It's like a soft pillow to a tired heart. But then he answers his own rhetorical question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. What things? Back up. Hardship, trouble, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, and sword. People facing death all day long. They're still more than conquerors, for I am convinced, and you know it begins, what two words? I am convinced that neither death nor life. Notice he starts with death. Neither death nor life. Neither angels or what? Demons, principalities. Neither things present nor things to come, neither height nor depth, any powers, anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That is the balance of faith. There are the victories, and then there are the losses that still are victories. There are those moments of mountaintop, and there are the deepest of valleys, and faith is in all of them and carries us through all of them. You want more evidence? That's New Testament theology. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 on the screen, rather verse 3. In His great love, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is the message right now that the Middle East needs to hear. It needs to hear that in God's great mercy, He has given us new hope through what? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That He wasn't just a prophet, that He was the Son of God, and He is the Son of God, and He laid His life down, and He's raised from the dead, and He can save every soul in that 1040 window. He can save every soul in Eurasia, as we will focus on it 2 weeks from today in our Mission Sunday. He can save every soul through the hope that we have in Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. Aren't you excited about that? And what we're brought into is an inheritance, a godly, spiritual, eternal inheritance. It cannot perish or spoil or fade. It's kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. And we stop there and just bask in it and look at all the elements of those three verses. Look at all that God has done for us. And look at that. We are shielded by God's power until Jesus comes back. Isn't it great to belong to God? And then we read on. Though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Not just one or two or one type, but all kinds, all variety of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. And then Peter goes on to write an absolute expose on suffering. There's even a verse in 1 Peter that says, hear this, if anyone suffers according to the will of God, let him commit himself to his faithful Creator and continue to do good. Let me just restate that. If anyone suffers according to the will of God, let him commit himself to his faithful Creator and just keep on doing good. How many hear faith in that? You also hear there are times that by God's will, He allows us to suffer. Read 1 Peter this week. Spend time in it. Five chapters. I'd read it through every single day if you'd like. Let it sink into your heart. It is an incredible thesis on suffering for the church. Biblical faith is realized in both the victories and the sufferings of life. So what do the apostles want us to do? What is Paul telling us in Romans 8? What is Peter writing to us in 1 Peter 1 through 5? Well, I think things like this. So don't expect faith to always bring quote-unquote victory. Secondly, don't measure defeat through natural eyes. When you feel like, well, that's a loss in my life, maybe not. Maybe God is working all things to your good. You'll see someday He'll bring you through that. Don't be surprised when trials come. Don't forget your faith is growing as you go through them. And don't doubt God's love and providence over your life. These are applications of what? Romans 8, Hebrews 11, 1 Peter, Jesus' words, John in Revelation, read the seven letters of the churches, especially Smyrna. This is the word of God about how you and I are to respond then when it comes to our faith, that there's victories, there's also times of sorrows. Second thing is that biblical faith is anchored in both the omnipotence of God and the sovereignty of God. It was a powerful word, and I look back and I see the Lednickys are here today. I love Brother and Sister Lednicki. They were my college presidents at CBC. And I remember them coming to Mesa early in our time. We were still in our little old slump block building. I don't even think we had begun an open up ground on the building built in 97. So it had to be maybe 95 or somewhere, maybe 94. And they came out to speak for our district, and I seized that opportunity. And I'll never forget the message. I still remember this day, Brother Lednicki standing, and he was talking about the balance of faith. And he went like this as he stood in front of that little church that sat about 250 people. And he talked on one side about God's power and God's omnipotence and the promises of God. But then he talked in the other about the sovereignty of God. And Brother Lednicki, I can never preach like you preach. I'm going to do my best right now to try to deliver it the best I can. But I sat there that day realizing they've lived through this with the loss of a young daughter to leukemia and their only child. And by the way, happy 50th anniversary to you two today. Bless you. Awesome. Amen. So I sat right back here a few weeks ago, and the family asked if Brother Lednicki would come and give a teaching out of his book, The DNA of Faith, to help that family go through the loss of their loved one. And all of us have been there, and we question and we wonder. And as Brother Lednicki was speaking a month ago, I grabbed my phone, I just started putting in the notes, and then I went back to it, and we emailed a little bit this week about it. Five levels of faith, as he writes. There's saving faith. Aren't you thankful that we're saved by grace through faith? They're sanctifying faith, and that's what purifies us and keeps us becoming more and more like Jesus, and we hang in there, and it's a painful process sometimes. I'm fully through it, but some of you are still working through it. Just seeing if you're listening. There's supernatural faith. Oh, I love that. Love those moments. There's a suffering faith, and there's a submissive faith. And all of that is aspect that couldn't tell it any better. I wish it could always be supernatural faith. I wish it could always be like my friend Craig Carter. Remember the story of his mom with tuberculosis years ago? And he was just a boy, and the evangelist that she had been taken to, evangelist after evangelist after evangelist, A.A. Allen, Oral Roberts, they went to every tent meeting they could go to, and yet she was still battling tuberculosis. And one little Canadian, how many is amazing that God can use Canadians? Could I hear any man this morning? It's crazy. An unknown Canadian to you and I today. He didn't have the name of Oral Roberts. He's just an evangelist from Canada, dropped into Minnesota, goes up into her room, asks her a couple of questions. Can I pray for you? And that's the night that God chooses to heal her. And she went on to live to be 99 years of age. If God heals you, he heals you. You don't have to talk him into it. You don't have to keep confessing it progressively throughout. If he heals you, you're healed. She still died, but age 99. I love stuff like that. Don't you love that? I love the thought of my dad in that little church when he was just a young pastor, wasn't even married yet. My mom was going up on weekends. A district superintendent made him take a different church when they got married because he knew all the ladies in that church of 25 people might get jealous and rise up and have something against my mom and have a coup, you know, whatever. So dad was single. He's 21 or 2 years of age. And he just says, here she comes wheeled in a wheelchair, completely crippled up with polio, as happened so often in that day of the 50s. And dad said, in just an amazing sense of faith, that they just prayed. And this girl is lifted out of a wheelchair, and she runs out of that little Wisconsin church. And the very next day, he and one of the deacons drive up to camp, because her dad said, Sunday night, can she go to camp then? He said, sure. They go up there, and the first sight they see, he says, he turns at whatever it was, he was driving that big old 1950 or whatever, and he turns it, and there she is. She's playing volleyball on the volleyball court. Praise God. I love when God does those things. Where you at, John and Jan? There you are. John, wave your hand. Your sister, we've been praying for Carol. Carol's one of our home missionaries, and there's a group of us that have been praying for her for months now. And they were with her just a few months ago, and she was at 85 pounds, and a colon disorder was literally taking her life. And John, in recent weeks, has said the turnaround is unbelievable, and we're seeing God heal that woman. And it's amazing what God is doing. Keep praying for a woman named Carol, that God will completely restore her health. David Nelson stood right here. Jerry Parsley was texting me back and forth from Switzerland, praying for him. And David came here to stand and tell that he was at death's door, had multiple brain surgeries within a week span. We prayed as a church. We pled with God as a church. And you know what? David Nelson's out running around. We can't even keep him chained to his home church any longer. Praise God. But I've also stood at a casket way too many times. And I've also said, God, come on, this can't be your will. I remember the hardest funeral I did at Red Mountain, young pastor, 32 years old. And I remember just putting my head down on the platform because I just knew, I can't lose it now, I can't lose it now. Just because those little elementary age kids are on the front row of their dad's funeral. It killed me. Then I had to go back and wrestle with God that all things work together for good to them that love God are called according to his purpose. I don't understand faith, but I do know one thing. I really get frustrated when people have their little formulas and just boil it all down and they wrap it all in a nice package. You know, all they need is just a trial. They just need something big and catastrophic to happen. It'll change the way they teach. Submissive faith is not a surrender of a sense of loss, but it's a release of our preferred outcome, to what we want, to what God had. That's all it is. It doesn't negate our faith or our prayer for that matter. It strengthens it. See, here's the key, and I so appreciate the way Brother Lednicki brought it across again a few weeks ago, and that is that our faith has to be objective. Our faith has to be in God. Our faith can't be in the subjective. It can't just be what our circumstances are. Our faith ultimately has to be God, you are God, and I'm going to trust you through the good and the bad. I'm going to trust you when it all goes my way, and I pray it through, and I'm going to pray it through even when I lose everything. You are still God. Even when we don't understand it, you are still God. I love those men in Daniel chapter 3. Oh, king, if you throw us into this fiery furnace, remember what they said? They said, we know our God is able to deliver us. And they added to that, and we know he's going to deliver us. And then they said, but, the next verse. And people say, well, there goes their faith. You're telling me there goes their faith? Listen to what they said. If we're thrown in the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you've set up. Amen. So last Sunday, I pick up my Live Dead, and I read this. Thomas was one of the Bible school students we taught in Eritrea. This is written by Kevin Smith, and I met Kevin a few years ago when we were there at Brackenhurst, and he's just, man, he's a wonderful missionary. And Kevin says, everywhere that Thomas went, people came to Jesus. One day, he was forcefully drafted to the military. Security officials took him to a training camp, took away his Bible, forced him to stop praying with others, told him to stop witnessing. Thomas wouldn't stop witnessing, even after being threatened by his commanders. He dared to tell them what Jesus could do for them. Finally, they imprisoned him and tortured him, hoping to shut him up. They pushed him face down in the dirt, took a wire cord, tied his arms to his legs behind his back in the figure eight, and wrenched him into agonizing pain. They left him like this in the blazing sun for hours. The cord cut off his blood circulation, and in 3 hours, his lower arm swelled to 4 times its normal size. Days later, gangrene set in, and the doctors decided they had to amputate to save his life. Just before the operation, the infection burst through his skin, rendering his fingers permanently immobile and leaving a huge scar in his forearm. If only someone could have knelt beside him and said, Thomas, you just need more faith. Just need more faith. Another brother, Matthew, described to me the horrors of being in prison for more than 2 years in a metal shipping container in Assab, a port town on the Red Sea. Heat indexes reached 140 degrees Fahrenheit. He would bake inside that container. He was thrown on a dry piece of bread and granted only a tiny cup of water each day. Once a day, he was let out to relieve himself in the sparse desert ground, suffering humiliation while his torturers looked on, mocking and jeering, asking him where his Jesus was now. With tears in my eyes, Kevin says, I wondered how he could have borne such persecution. Matthew leaned across the table, half standing with his face close to mine, and said, Kevin, never have I felt so close to Jesus as when he was with me in that prison. Want to talk faith? Here's faith. The televangelist, the teleteacher, as I got up this morning early and I thought I'll flip a few channels, I ended up watching 5 of them. I spent probably a half hour maybe, 20 minutes to half hour. I just wanted to catch and hear it. I heard confession, I heard faith, I heard hyperfaith. I heard all kinds of stuff that leaves off at verse 32a. Doesn't take into account 32b. That leaves off Romans chapters 8, takes you to the point, I'm more than a conqueror, and then leaves you there, not realizing really what you're conquering over and through and in. See, just have more faith. So on one hand, yes, faith is there in the power of God. It's amazing. If God can do anything, everything, yes. But if he doesn't choose to, I'm still going to hang on to God. And in the balance of that is incredible faith. Don't let anyone ever tell you when you go through loss, when you suffer persecution, whatever it might be. See, our problem is we live in a little American bubble. We are so blessed. You know why? As one dear, one of my favorite little 80-year-old ladies in this church, she emailed me this week and said, I'm really struggling, Jeff, but I'm trying to get through this book. But she said, it's stretching me. I understand why. And we get to live in the freedoms that we have. All we need to do, though, is get a glimpse of what some go through today, right now. This is not 12th century. This is not Fox's Book of Martyrs. This is not 2,000 years ago. This is right now in Eritrea. This is right now across the Middle East. We need to recognize these are heroes of faith. It's not a matter of a lack of faith. It's that their faith is taking them through the trial. And so he can rise up and say to Kevin, Kevin, I've never felt closer to Jesus than right then. So I encourage you today, number one, believe. With everything in you, believe. Don't give up believing. And trust. balance your desires with his will. That's what trust does. Trust takes you where you say, okay, God, you're God. Though it may not be going fully my way and what I'm thinking I want for my life, I believe in you. And faith and trust, they go hand in hand in trusting God with what he has for your life. Allow then the rule of God to be in your heart, the kingdom of God. Let him have his rule and his reign in your circumstances. And I'd say again, believe even more. Keep asking, keep hoping, keep believing, keep seeking. You say, well, why do that? Because you're obeying the word of God when you do. So keep on, but then also accept, take whatever comes from the hand of God. Stand strong in your faith. Look with your eyes on the eternal prize. That's biblical faith. That's the balance of Hebrews 11. That's what so many struggle with. And we try to come up with answers and formulas. We don't need formulas. We just need one thing, the word of God. And we need to rightly divide the word of God. And not pick the verses that we just want, because there's plenty of verses in here you can take and play with them. As I remember leaving a restaurant table years ago, and I was so spun around. I was about 25 years of age, and that guy was pouring out Greek and this and that, and yet I'm still looking at the text saying, but it doesn't make sense. And I walked out that day and said, something's wrong. I smell a spirit here that's wrong. And he was almost drawing me in to what I think would have been a net. So thank God for the balance of Hebrews 11 and Romans 11, 8 and 1 Peter 1. Because third, biblical faith is expressed in both the overcoming of and the yielding to our trials. The operative word there is expressed. See, those of the second half of verse 35 and onward in Hebrews 11, they are not of less faith than those of 35a and before. Right? Matter of fact, here's what God said about them. Look down to verse 37 again on the screen. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins. How many know that would be weird and hard enough right there? That's not easy. Destitute, persecuted, mistreated, and then say it with me. The world was not worthy of them. Tell me, whose word is that? We don't know who wrote Hebrews. Apollos? Paul? We don't know. But you know what? That's God's commentary. The word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And here's what God says about these people. Well, they lacked faith. No, no, no. God says, as I sit on my throne and I look down at the sufferings and the mistreatment of them, and they held their faith and they were sodden too, and they were stoned and they were chained and they went about like, he said, these very people, when God looks from his holy throne, he looks upon the mess of this world and the sin of man and the rebellion of man, and he says, that world is not even worthy of these people to put the shod of their sandal and to walk upon the dust of. He says it's not worthy of. And then a little bit later, he says, his commentary continues, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what is promised. You might say today, then what's the use? Then why have faith? Well, Peter said this, our faith goes through the fire and we become stronger. It purifies, like the picture of the dross coming to the top, and then you scrape that off, and there it is. It's even more pure and pure and pure as you go through these things. If our faith sat dormant, if our faith never went through anything, where would you and I be today? But again, faith through trials, James 1 says, we go through perseverance, and perseverance develops character, and character does what? It brings you and I into maturity, into a whole man. Romans chapter 5, Paul says the same thing. We go through these sufferings. We go through these trials, and in all of it, we are becoming greater and greater people of faith. And it's not a matter that you just go about and you just are using the power of God at your will to knock out every little thing out of your way because you are a conqueror in him. No, you go through the fire, sufferings, many times the persecutions. But then again, faith is active. We've been talking about that this whole series for 24 weeks. Faith is active. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, as your faith continues to grow. He wrote 2 Thessalonians, because your faith is growing more and more. And again, how does it grow? It grows by hearing the word, by hanging on to God's word. Absolutely. It grows in the victories. You better believe it. When God comes through, your faith just soars. But you know what? It also grows through the trials. And that's why Hebrews 11 is giving us the balance of faith as it concludes. And so then the third example Kevin gave was Herron. And Herron, he says, is a leader of the national church there. And he said he knew his day of freedoms were numbered, and so he was talking to his children. And Kevin said, it touched my heart because the children were the same ages as mine, 8, 5, and 2 years of age. And he prepared his kids, and early one day, one morning, before the sun rose, soldiers came to his house, took him away. And John, his 5-year-old son, was the first to wake up. When he realized daddy was gone, he cried and he wailed so loudly that his 8-year-old sister Salome was awakened. Putting her arms around her younger brother, she comforted him, saying, "No, John, no. Father taught us to count it all joy to suffer for Jesus. We must not cry. We must shout for joy." 8-year-old Salome let out a yell that morning that could not and will not be overcome by any demonic power. We have much to learn from 8-year-old Salome's faith in an ever-present Jesus, that I am always with you. Herron has been in prison since 2004. We're reading this in 2012. His last words to Kevin Smith, one of our great missionaries in East Africa, was, "Kevin, ask our brothers and sisters to pray for us. Not that we should be free from persecution, but that we will stand up boldly under it and proclaim Christ as we should." Wow. I wish he could be on TV. Don't you? These are faith. This is faith. This is faith. Don't expect faith to always bring the victory, and don't measure defeat through natural eyes. Don't be surprised when trials come. Don't forget your faith is growing when you go through things. Don't doubt God's love and providence in your life. Believe with everything in you believe. Trust. Balance your desires with the will of God. Let the rule of God be in your life. Keep believing and asking and hoping and seeking. Accept whatever comes from the hand of the Lord. Stand strong in your faith and keep your eyes on the eternal prize, so that in conclusion, your life will witness to the balance of faith. I thought about as I prepared this today and this week, now is a great time to share it because I'm standing where we share parking lots with the building just to the north of us. But at age 25, I made a call that probably scared my parents to death. But I said, I'm ready to leave the Assemblies of God, and I'm ready to follow the answers that I've discovered in my life. And that man that sat in that restaurant booth had taken the Word of God and had so twisted me. A friend of mine had gone to his church. A whole group of people left Phoenix First, went to that church. The next thing you know, I'm listening for about 9 months to these cassette tapes. Let me explain to the young people what a cassette tape is. It's about this big. It has two little reels, and it just rolls. Every time I was in my car, I'm popping in a new cassette tape. I could list for you about 10 of the teachers I was listening to. And you know why? Well, let me go back about 4 or 5 years, because I laid there in that dorm room at Central Bible College, and my roommate, a guy named John Lindell, I know you never heard of him, but he was right there, and he's in his twin bed, and I'm in mine, and we're laying there, and we're looking at all the suffering, and we're looking at all the people that aren't getting healed, and we're talking about what Jesus said, and we're talking about the rest of the Bible, and we're just struggling with this, and we're like trying to come up with answers. And so zip it forward about 4 or 5 years, and one of my dear friends goes headlong into this message, and then he's handing me these tapes, and I'm listening, and I'm finally coming to the answer. And the answer is this: it's not a matter of the sovereignty of God. It's a matter of how great my faith is, and all I have to do is have a little bit more faith. All I have to do is squeeze that a little bit more, and I don't care what comes my way. I will always be able to gain the victory if I just have enough faith. And if anybody dies premature, it has to be they didn't have enough faith. And any kind of suffering, it's going to be they didn't have enough faith. And I was ready to go headlong into that. And I'm so glad, trust me, that was half of my life ago. How many know 25 years is a long time? So some of you say, bummer, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying in the Assemblies of God. But I was that close to buying into something that would stop at verse 32a, and it would not have an answer for the rest. And it would take Romans 8 in a way and turn it to where I was just convinced that I was a super conqueror. But I didn't even know the context because no one taught the context. They just pulled the verse out. And I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit one day reading, I could tell you the passage. I was reading this book, and all of a sudden it just was like a light. I'll never forget it. I'm reading, I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm going down the wrong path. And it's not that the Assemblies of God has all the answers. I'm not saying that, but I am saying this. There's an errant view of faith, and it's propagated by so many. Do we need faith? You better believe it. Faith pleases God. But faith many times takes you through. It doesn't take you out of. And in the end, faith becomes sight. So I commend that precious family that had Brother Lednecki stand. And a matter of fact, as I referenced it a couple weeks ago, at Roger Thomason's funeral, I was amazed that the whole family got up, all the grandchildren, everybody, and I watched that little widow walk up here in her mid-60s, and they sang one of the beautiful hymns of the church. It was a moment of faith. And some might dare say, well, they just didn't have enough faith over that week that Roger laid in the hospital here and all of us were praying. Friends, God can do anything, but we have to trust him in the end. It is his omnipotence and it's his sovereignty. And faith takes hold of both and hangs on into eternity. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning? If you're here today and you say, Jeff, I'm going through a great trial, a great time of difficulty. I'm very sick in my body. I am weary. I need a job. I have financial woes, whatever it might be. No one needs to know today, but I'm going to ask you right now just to stand right where you're at. Just stand right there. If you're going through a trial right now and you just stand up to say, that's me. I'm going through a painful time. I'm going through a fiery trial, whatever it is. Just stand and don't be ashamed to stand. You are letting us know you have faith when you stand right now. Whatever it is, we don't need to know. God knows. He knows, he knows. Just stand and keep standing if you will. Anyone else, you just stand up to say, I do. I'm in the need of prayer. I'm in the need of help right now. Is there anyone else? A lot of students are standing right now. A lot of all ages are standing right now. I'm going to ask now if you will, just to go and without even laying a hand on them or just lightly maybe on the shoulder, but nothing beyond that, would a few of us just step up near these this morning right now. Just lay a hand just on their shoulder lightly and begin to pray. Pray right now and pray the prayer of faith that God will heal them, that God will deliver them, that he will provide for them, whatever it is. And the rest of us now, would all of us stand together? And even if there's no one near you, would you just begin to pray right now? And let's ask God to heal and restore and bring victory. And college students, pray for one another. Go ahead, put a hand on one another today, right now. Just pray right now. Begin to ask God to help one another. Let's pray the prayer faith in this room right now, that we serve a mighty God. He is able to deliver us, that we believe he will deliver us. And even if he does not deliver us, we will serve him. We will trust him in our lives. Father, we pray for everyone standing right now. And God, we ask you to intervene in the situations, whatever they might be. We say that you are God, and we trust you, and we believe in you, and we know that you have all power. And so, Lord, we pray for jobs, and we pray for healings, and we pray for marriages to be healed and restored. We pray for hearts that are broken. We pray for those that are grieving and mourning even right now, that you, Lord, will comfort them, that you, Lord, will strengthen them. We pray, God, that you will meet every need that is here in our midst, because we believe you're that kind of a God, and that you are merciful and you are gracious, and that you have certainly plenty of power to intervene in every situation. And we ask you to do it today in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, by the power of God, for your glory and your honor. Jesus, we pray that you will move in their hearts and in their lives to your glory and to your honor, we pray in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we add an addendum to our prayer. And we believe this is biblical, and we believe it's a balance of your word. And we say, Lord, even if you do not, we, like the three Hebrew children, say, we are going to serve you no matter what. We are going to trust you no matter what. Our faith is in you no matter what, Lord. So we pray your will be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Bring the victory, bring the power. Bring the timing of circumstances, we pray. In Jesus' name.